I'm speaking with Percy Schmeiser. He is a canola farmer from Western Canada, and he is currently involved in a lawsuit with Monsanto regarding patent infringement. Hello, Percy.
Hello.
Hello. Why don't you just start out with giving us a little background? How long have you been farming?
Well, I've been farming since 1947, and out of those years, I've grown canola every year, except this year when I know my choice was taken away because my seed and my plants are now all contaminated. But besides being a farmer, I've also been a seed developer in canola and a seed saver, which means I was developing my own canola seed and saving my seed from year to year. But besides being a canola farmer, I also raised wheat and peas. One of my principal crops was canola, and but that now has been taken away from me because my seeds were contaminated.
So are you currently farming?
Yes, I still am farming, but at a reduced scale because I'm 71 years of age, and so I've rented some of the land out to my neighbors, but I'm still farming somewhere around 400 acres, where normally I farm about 1,400 to 1,500 acres.
Are you able to survive on the acreage you're farming now?
Well, actually, being that I'm in the retirement mode, I was hoping to retire from farming full-time when I was 70, but now with the lawsuit with Monsanto that they launched against me in 1998, I want to maintain my farming status until this court case is over.
Let's talk about this court case. How did it come to be that Monsanto is suing you?
Well, it started in 1998 when Monsanto, without any prior notice to me, launched the lawsuit against me, and it was strictly on patent infringement. They said I was growing their Roundup Ready canola, which is an oilseed crop, and the oil from it primarily is used from cooking oil. And they said I was growing it without a license from Monsanto, and therefore infringed on their patent. They initially, in their lawsuit, said I had obtained it illegally or somehow, but in pre-trial, which took 2 years to go to main trial, they withdrew all those allegations, and they said it doesn't matter how it gets into a farmer's field against his wishes, and they said you violate their patent. And so it went to the Federal Court of Canada with one judge, because patent laws in Canada come under federal jurisdiction. So it was strictly a patent infringement case versus farmer's rights to use his own seed from year to year.
Now, I don't understand. Are you telling me that Monsanto has a patent on a seed that ended up in your field? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what they do is they have a patent on a gene that keeps canola from dying if you spray Roundup Ready herbicide on it, which is Monsanto's herbicide brand. And it'll kill every other plant, every weed, anything that is green, it will kill. It's similar to Agent Orange, and that it kills everything, but except canola. So what they do is they have a patent on a gene, and they put this gene into a seed. And they then say that they have invented that seed, even though the seed could be biopire seed from another company. When the seed becomes a plant, the gene is transferred into the plant. They then say they have invented the plant, and you'd have to have a permission and pay a license and a technology charge to Monsanto every year if you want to grow it, even if it gets into your field accidentally, destroying your crop.
So somehow this Roundup Ready canola the gene was somehow created, or how did Monsanto create this did they tamper with the gene? Is that how they created this?
Well, you see,
this canola that's resistant to Roundup, to their Roundup?
Yeah, what they did, they took a gene from another species, which in normal nature would never do, and they put this gene into the seed, which makes it resistant. So it's what you call genetic modified organisms, or genetic engineering, and that's what made this canola resistant to Roundup. But what is so startling in my case is that after 2 years when it went to trial, the judge ruled in Monsanto's favor, and he said it does not matter how Monsanto's genetic-altered canola gets into any farmer's field. And he even specified, even like from cross-pollination or direct wind movement, and we have a lot of wind on the prairies, as does many other parts of North America. And he said birds, bees, whatever, floods, if it gets into your land, even if you don't know it, you violate Monsanto's patent, and if you continue using a seed, even if you don't know it, you constitute a patent violation, and Monsanto can sue you. And that's what they did in my case. They had found out that there was some Monsanto's Roundup Ready canola growing just in the ditch along my land, and by the fact I was using my seed from year to year, as you know, traditionally thousands of farmers around the world do every year, I violated the patent. And the judge ruled, as I said, it doesn't matter how it gets here. He also ruled that all my profits, all my seeds and my plants go to Monsanto, even if a contamination rate is only 1% or 2%, the other 98% of your crop also goes to Monsanto.
Let me just see if I'm understanding this. Monsanto created this Roundup Ready canola by taking a gene that was resistant to Roundup and putting it into the seed.
That is correct.
And then this, they sold this to some of your neighbors.
Correct.
Is that how it got into your field?
Yes. Well, one of my neighbors grew it in 1996 right next to me, and he never said anything to me about it, and there was a large windstorm and small little whirlwinds that took part of his crop into my crop. And being that I was using my seed from year to year, that's how a good portion got in. But also, one of my neighbors now has come forth and said that he also was a grower who lived a half a mile from me, and when he was hauling canola, one of the tarps on his truck had broken, and a lot of the seed, because it's a very light seed, it blew off his truck, and he figured he lost enough seed to seed 2,000 acres, because with 4 or 5 pounds, you can seed an acre. And so if he lost 20 bushels, you can see the extent. So it came onto my land primarily by seed movement in wind, some through cross-pollination. But the biggest was direct seed movement by wind.
How did Monsanto find out that their Roundup Ready canola had contaminated or invaded your field?
Okay, what Monsanto does is they advertise in their brochures and in their papers that if you think your neighbor is grown their genetic altered canola without a license, you should rat, squeal, or inform on your neighbor. And farmers tell me, one that had done this, he said he got a leather jacket from Monsanto for ratting on his neighbor.
What did he get?
He informed on his neighbor.
Yeah, but what did he get for that?
A leather jacket from Monsanto.
A leather jacket?
From Monsanto, and that's
all?
Primarily what I guess they give if you inform. You know, it's like 30 pieces of silver almost. But anyway, when Monsanto gets this tip or rumor, they have a very large police force. And their police force here in Canada is ex-Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And then they'll send a couple of their police, what we call them gene police in Canada, out to a farmer, and they'll go to a farmer's yard, his home, and they'll intimidate, harass, and say, we have this tipper rumor, and if you don't confess, you won't have a farm left. And it's really a third degree. And when a farmer says he's never grown it, he's never had nothing to do with Monsanto, he'll accuse him of lying and so on. But what happens when Monsanto police leave a farmer's yard is that a farmer thinks, well, who did this to me? Was it this neighbor or that neighbor? And so now there's a suspicion created amongst farmers and a breakdown of our social fabric of our rural communities, where farmers are not working together anymore, not cooperating with one another. Mm-hmm. A suspicion amongst farmer created through Monsanto's policy. And then there's many other things, like their whole contract that they get farmers to sign. A farmer has to sign his rights to use his own seed away. He must always buy the seed from Monsanto. He must pay a $15 an acre each year technology charge. He must permit Monsanto's police to come onto his land, without his permission for 3 years, going to his fields, going to his granaries. So these are some of the other things that Monsanto uses for suppression of farmers' rights. And then they don't stop there. If they cannot find a farmer at home, they'll send what farmers call, and I got many copies of these, extortion letters to farmers. And in it, they'll say, we have reason to believe that you might be growing Monsanto's genetic altered canola without a license, and in view of us not taking or possibly launching against a lawsuit against you, send us $50,000, $100,000. I've seen some $250,000, $28,000. So can you imagine a fear in a farmer when he gets a letter like this from Monsanto saying, we have my reason to believe, and a fear, here's a multi-billion-dollar corporation coming after a farmer, just saying. And also, I've seen letters sent to farmers where they never even had these acres seeded into canola. And so it's just another form of harassment, intimidation, and suppression of farmers' rights. And also, they don't stop there. If they can't even find a farmer with a letter, and they know the farmer's land location, because a lot of the farmers don't live on the land that they farm. They may live 20 miles away. They'll use a plane, and they'll use a Monsanto Roundup Ready spray bomb, which covers about 30 feet, and they'll drop this from the air on a farmer's canola field, and then they'll fly back either with a small plane or helicopter about 10 days later. And if the crop has died, they know that the farmer wasn't using Monsanto's Roundup Ready canola. And if the canola hasn't died, they know the farmer's using their canola, Roundup Ready canola.
That's got to be illegal.
Well, it surely is illegal. Everything they do, they go onto farmers' fields, trespass, and they steal farmers' seeds, they steal farmers' plants, and if a farmer catches Monsanto's police or Monsanto's personnel themselves in his field, and they say, you're trespassing, we're going to take you to court, Monsanto's reps or their police will say, take us to court, and we'll drag you through the courts, and you won't have a farm left time we're through with you. And just like Monsanto said to me, personally to me, he said, nobody stands up to Monsanto. And in my case, they said, we're going to get you, and we're going to destroy you.
Monsanto creates this Roundup Ready canola seed, and then they sell it to farmers.
Right.
And part of that contract is that you cannot collect the seed and reuse it. You have to buy it every year from Monsanto. Not only that, you have to buy their Roundup too. So it's kind of like they're making a lot of money on this, right? Because they're selling you the seed, first of all. Then they're selling you the pesticide that you douse your field with, the Roundup, that kills everything but the canola. And then you have to buy the seed from them every single year because they don't allow you to collect it and reuse it, as you said you've been doing for 50 years.
Right.
Now, was that part of what happened to you? Was that you went out into your field that had been contaminated by a neighbor and reused some of the seed, and then they said you were using their seed? Was that the basis of their lawsuit?
That's exactly right. And also, you must pay Monsanto $15 an acre technology charge each year too when you seed it. So anyway, like they said, and the judge ruled, it doesn't matter how it got onto my field, that I violate their patent by using my seed the following year, even if you don't know it. And even if you do know it, that there's a possibility you violate the patent. So what it really does, it takes the total rights away of a farmer to use his own seed from year to year. My choice has been taken away because the year 2002 now, this past year, is the first time since 1947 my wife and I could not grow canola because our land is contaminated, we know, to some degree. Our seed is contaminated. All the seed companies, now their seed is contaminated. So the judge ruled, when I ought to or should know, or any farmer ought to or should know, that the seed is contaminated with Monsanto seed, even against your wishes, you infringe on their patent if you grow it. And the only way you can grow canola, you got to go on your hands and knees to Monsanto to buy their seed, pay their technology charge, have their police, and cannot use your seed from year to year. Now, you can imagine the implications for third world farmers alone farmers here in the United States and Canada.
You didn't know that your field had been contaminated by genetically engineered Monsanto seed. So how could the judge rule against you? How could he rule in favor of Monsanto? You were unaware. It was the wind that carried it into your field.
He said I ought to or should have known because there were some plants in the ditch. And in 1998, very few farmers knew about Roundup, Monsanto's Roundup Ready canola, and there was such a thing as a patent. They never advertised it in their papers, and even to grow it, you had to be invited to a Monsanto special meeting. They called it informational meeting. And even when I noticed some plants that didn't die in the ditch in 1998 and a few plants in 1997, I didn't even realize what I had at the time because nobody knew that there was such a thing as patent on a life-giving form, a patent on a life-giving form such as a seed. And so it was a total surprise, but the judge ruled, doesn't matter how it gets there. And even now, in the last court case, even if a farmer does not know it's in his field, he violates the patent.
So, Percy, you were sued by Monsanto, and they won. A Canadian federal court ruled in favor of them.
Yes.
And basically, this was maintaining that corporate patents supersede farmers' rights, in effect.
Right.
So what's next? Have you decided to appeal this or countersue? What's happening?
Right now, we have appealed, a leave for appeal to Supreme Court of Canada, and then ultimately, if we get that leave to appeal, we will appeal it to Supreme Court of Canada because then they will look at all the issues. Like now, at the Court of Appeal, they looked only at points of law or facts of law or where the first judge might have erred in law. But the Supreme Court will look at the whole issue of patenting life-giving forms, the whole issue of liability, the whole issue because we do have a federal law in Canada which states that a farmer always has the right to use his seed from year to year. The judge ruled that patent law is over and above all farmers' rights. Under the new corporation's patent law, farmers no longer have any rights in regards to the use of their seed or maintain ownership of their seed. The judge ruled patent law is over and above. So these are some of the things that we are appealing now. But also I do have a counter lawsuit against Monsanto in a local court now in our province on the whole issue of liability, the whole issue of whether you can patent a life-giving form, and when you put this life-giving form into the environment, you cannot control it because once it's there, it will reproduce itself. It doesn't need man's help. And then the loss of indigenous seeds, loss of biodiversity, the loss of organic farmers now not being able to grow several crops, loss by conventional farmers like myself, but my wife is an organic farmer. Her choice has been taken away as an organic farmer. My choice has been taken away.
What do you mean her choice has been taken away?
She can no longer grow now soybeans or canola because it's all contaminated. And as an organic farmer, you cannot have no contamination in. And now there's a big fear. She has a very big fear, not only herself, but hundreds of other organic farmers, is that canola comes from the brassica family and has very close relatives like radishes, cauliflower, turnips, and so on. And she has found now Roundup Ready canola plants in her garden this year, so she has to do some testing now to see if it has now cross-pollinated into the close cousins. And if it has, it now will destroy many organic farmers that grow garden produce. So it's just expanding and expanding. Plus the fact that canola, conventional canola, has now developed into a super weed, which now takes many new powerful chemicals to try and control it. And maybe what I mean by super weed is that a conventional canola plant has now taken on the genes through cross-pollination, not only of Monsanto's GMOs, but other companies that sell GMOs. So now we have all those genes resistant to various chemicals all in one plant, taking three and four more new and more powerful chemicals to control it and kill it. And it's not only canola fields. It'd be hard-pressed now to find one farm anywhere in Canada, whether it's a wheat field or barley field, that now is not contaminated with this new super weed. And at the beginning, in 1996, Monsanto said when they introduced Roundup Ready canola, it would be a bigger yielder and less chemicals. No, you know, farmers were really suckered in because now we have to use more and more chemicals, poorer yields, and so on. Everything that Monsanto said to the farmers in 1996 has turned out to be false and basically an outright lie.
So part of your lawsuit is for your own loss, for the contamination of your own field, in addition to challenging a corporation's right to own a patent, to patent a seed. You're challenging that. You're saying that they shouldn't be able to patent life, right?
That's right.
But are you also suing for your own personal loss for your field being contaminated?
Yeah, the liability issue also. Because you have to remember, my wife and I lost a half a century of seed development canola. And we had canola that we had developed through a lot of hard work, testing and so on, and planting. And which was resistant to various diseases, suitable to our climatic and soil conditions. That's all gone. And my wife often makes that statement. She says if she would have went down to Monsanto's world headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri, went into their plant and destroyed or took or contaminated their seed and plants that they have been developing, she's sure she would have been thrown in jail and the key thrown away. And she says, why can they have the right to come to a farmer's field in North America? And it's not only Canadian fields, it's fields in North Dakota, Missouri, Indiana, and so on, that you have contamination. Why can they get away with it? And then a farmer gets sued on top of it yet because he infringes on their patent. Because, as I said, doesn't matter how it gets into a farmer's field, his rights are taken away.
I'm speaking with Percy Schmeiser, a Canadian canola farmer, who is currently involved in he's appealing a decision by the Canadian federal court, which ruled in favor of Monsanto, and you're appealing this decision to the Supreme Court of Canada. Now, can you tell me why do you think Monsanto is doing all this, and why is the court system upholding all this?
Well, that's an issue that when the patent laws came out, they were never made or addressed life-giving forms. It was when you invented something. And now what the judges are ruling is that even if you discover something, basically you can patent that. And to us, that is wrong. And even in my case, I never used Monsanto's patent. To use their patent, I would have to use their chemical herbicide on my field, and I never ever did that. And the judge ruled that's immaterial, just the fact that you have some plants there. So in the patent law, it says use. So those are some of the things also. And that in my lawsuit, you know, it also states that when you have a life-giving form and you patent it and you put it into the environment and it destroys the property of others, like myself as a conventional canola grower, an organic farmer, then there should be a liability issue. No one should have the right to put something into the environment that destroys the work and the plants and seeds and indigenous seeds and lost biodiversity by getting a patent on it and what they have said for the unconfined release into the environment. No one should have that right to take the choice of other people away, and as I said, then get sued and lawsuits on top of it. And that's why my wife and I decided to stand up to Monsanto and say, look, you have destroyed what we have worked for all our lives, and you've taken our right to use our own seed away, and we feel so strongly. We're third-generation farmers, and our grandparents came over from Europe, first to the United States and then to Canada, to be free and to grow the plants what they wanted to, along with hundreds of thousands of other farmers in North America to do the same thing. And now those rights are being taken away from us. And that's why we felt so strongly that a farmer should never, ever have his rights taken away to be able to use his own seed. Because if we do, we'll become just serfs of the land and we're back to a feudal system. And one thing else that I'd like to say is this, is that My wife and I have 5 children and 14 grandchildren, and we don't want to leave a legacy to our children of land and food with poisons. We want to leave a legacy of land and food and freedom to our children without poisons. And, you know, last Saturday we just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, and all our retirement funds, our legal bill, just paying our lawyer, has been around $250,000. We've mortgaged our land, and we felt so strongly. And now we are getting help from people all over the world because we cannot continue no longer in regards to fight a multi-billion-dollar corporation. There is no justice for an average citizen anymore when you fight a multi-billion-dollar corporation. And my wife and I knew what we would be going through because we don't have our heads in the sand. And we knew that they could extend, they could use every legal maneuver to break us down financially and mentally. But we're trying to stand up, and as long as my wife and I have the health, which we are both in good health, although my wife now has developed high blood pressure from the stress, we will continue to fight Monsanto for the rights of farmers throughout the world. And that's why we're doing this.
What do you think Monsanto wants? Are they just trying to... Do you really think it's as sinister as that they're trying to gain control of the whole world's food system so they can force everyone to have to rely on their GE crops and buy their chemicals? Is that their goal, or are they just a multinational corporation that wants to make as much profit as possible? What do you think the motive here is?
I believe their motive is this. It's a total control of the seed supply, and then you have to buy their chemical Roundup from them. Now, you have to remember that their patent on the Roundup Ready, Monsanto's herbicide Roundup, ran out 2 years ago, both in Canada and United States. Roundup was the flagship of profit-making for Monsanto. Although it was only 25% of the sales, of their sales, it was equal to 50% of their profit. So in the last 4 years, Monsanto went on a buying binge around the world, buying up seed companies. And now they are, and they spent $12 billion doing that. They are now the second largest seed company in the world. When all of a sudden you have a chemical company becoming the one of the world's largest seed companies, that tells us something. That tells us something, because with the control of your seed supply, they can maintain through patent law and their contracts, their sales of Roundup, because with the seed, you have to buy the chemical from them. You have no other choice. So to me, yes, it is a total control of the seed supply, maintaining their control and sales of chemicals.
Percy, how can people help you fight Monsanto, and how can people fight Monsanto? I mean, of course, people can try not to buy their products like Roundup, but can you tell me what do you think people can do, and possibly you can give us some contact information? I understand you've spent your life savings and you probably need some financial help as well.
Well, we have set up a trust fund to help us with our legal bills, and every bit of cent that we get in from that goes to fight to pay the lawyers on my legal defense. And I have a website, and it's www.percyschmeiser, and that's spelled PERCYSCHMEISER.com. And there's a lot of information on that website. The court cases, what Monsanto, copies of extortion letters, copies of their contract, everything that they do to suppress and take the rights of farmers away. And that is something that people around the world didn't know that Monsanto was doing. All they thought that Monsanto was a large chemical company, but they are no longer a chemical company to a full degree. They're also a large seed company. And the other thing that people should become more aware of, the whole issue of food, the dangers of eating GMO food, and then the whole issue of the environment. I like to divide the whole issue of genetic modified organisms, or 3MO, GMOs, in three categories. The first category is the category I'm involved with, the rights of farmers being taken away by multinationals and the control of the seed supply and food supply ultimately. And that's why what I tell African farmers, if you ever lose your control of your seed supply, you lose the control of the food supply, and in many, many countries, whoever controls that food supply controls that country. And the second issue is the danger of GMOs. The Europeans, their scientists, are way ahead of us in knowing the dangers of GMOs. And now, just lately, it has come out that the bacteria and the viruses from GMOs are in the intestines of animals and now also into humans with increased growth cells in the large intestines. So the dangers of this food is not fully known because there's very little testing done in North America. And then there's the third issue, the issue of the environment. The issue to bees that are carrying now, they have found that the GMOs are in the bees themselves. The loss of indigenous and the loss of biodiversity. We no longer have pure canola seed or soybean seed left in Canada. It has all been contaminated. We are concerned, and rightly so, with the environment on birds and animals and insects and loss of many other things. What now we should be very concerned with the environment of loss of indigenous seeds and plants, because there is, once you release a life-giving form into the environment, there is no calling back. And two other important points. Once there is, you introduce GMOs into the environment, there is no such thing as coexistence. Once you go down that slippery slope, you will destroy the organic farmers, and you will destroy the conventional farmers. You cannot coexist, because through cross-pollination and direct seed movement, you will destroy both those farmers, as it has now happened in Canada with canola and also with soybeans. Then there is no such thing as containment. Once you release it into the environment, through cross-pollination again, through wind, through birds, through bees, you cannot contain it, and it will spread. So when anybody says they'll have a buffer strip or a control zone or whatever other methods, you cannot contain it, and you will destroy. Once you introduce it, it's either or. You cannot have conventional farmers or organic farmers. It's only going to be GMOs. That might sound strong, but we now know since 1996, this is what has happened to us here, not only in Canada, but to many farmers in the United States.
So you're saying that genetically modified seeds are contaminating all crops, and that there will be no organic if it's not, that's not, there's not a stop put to that. Is that what you're saying?
That is right. If they're trying, Monsanto is trying very hard to introduce GMO wheat, not only into the three prairie provinces of Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, but also into North Dakota and also into Montana. And if they ever get permission, they have field trials on right now, if they ever get permission from both the U.S. government or the Canadian government, it will totally destroy the organic farmers.
Is it likely they'll get permission?
Well, we're fighting. There's a court action right now against Monsanto and Adventus, a court injunction to stop the introduction of GMO wheat. And we feel that there is so much opposition from farmers in both our countries that the government will not give regulatory approval. But you have to remember that both our governments are working with Monsanto in the development of GMO wheat on government research stations and test plots. And this is what really, really concerns us now, where our governments are in bed with Monsanto. And here in Canada, the Department of Agriculture has been taking grants and grant money from Monsanto, and then in turn give regulatory approval to Monsanto, the same people. So, you know, and the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, which was highly regarded throughout the world as a good agency inspecting the food and testing the food for Canadians, now we have found that they have done not one bit of testing on GMOs. They've only used the data supplied to them by Monsanto. So again, that has to be changed. So people are now, the consumers are really becoming alarmed, because all the Canadian Food Inspection Agency said, long as it's substantially equivalent. Well, I've been told by scientists in many parts of the world that you can have a food that is 99% substantive equivalent, it's the 1% that will kill you. And these are the questions all that have to be asked. Consumers should start asking questions, because I think every consumer should have the right to know what they are feeding to themselves, to their children, and to their grandchildren. And we should demand that right. And consumers all over North America should demand that right. Europeans are doing it. They're demanding to know what's in their food, and that you have labeling. Australia has labeling. Why do we not have labeling in North America? And I'll tell you why. In a poll taken in Canada in December, 95% of the Canadians said they would not eat GMO foods if they knew what they were eating. They want labeling.
So, Percy, you mentioned, and by the way, I'm going to wrap up real soon,
sure.
But you mentioned that Monsanto's, as you say, in bed with the government, and you mentioned that they gave grants to government agencies who then help them develop some of this technology. And is there also a revolving door, as there is often between corporations like Monsanto and government agencies like the USDA or other? Is there people from Monsanto who end up sitting in government agencies, or vice versa, government agency people going and working for Monsanto? Has that happened? Are you aware of that?
Oh, very much so. Here we have it in the Department of Agriculture. We have it in the Canadian Food Inspection Agency. We have it also on other boards, where all of a sudden a person from the government is working with Monsanto, and then a few years later they're back in government again. We have a real revolving door. Now, what has happened? So much pressure was put onto our government about a year ago, and they set up what they call a Royal Society Commission to check into all this, that government is not staying at arm's length away from multinationals. And the fact of taking grant money came as an alarm to all Canadians that this, we thought that this would never happen in Canada. Well, we're now finding out it is happening. It's not happening in a banana republic, but in our governments here. And so now, sure, the Royal Commission has come down with a damaging report against the government. What will happen? We don't know how much the government will pay attention to it. But these are the things that have to stop. People that were former or lawyers and stuff that were former lawyers from Monsanto now working with the government and so on. But this is what's going on.
Okay.
And then the suppression. We have a total suppression by our scientists and research people at our universities throughout Canada now, because a lot of the funding now was stopped by the federal government, now comes private. And so a lot of the projects, scientists and research people are scared to talk out, and I've had many talk to me in confidence that I would never give their names out, or sometimes they didn't give me their names, that they said that if they would talk out, they would lose their jobs tomorrow. And that has happened also, I know, to scientists and research people in North Dakota. So now we have suppression of information that the public should know about being suppressed by the grant money, because otherwise these people will lose their jobs. And it's a sad story, state of affairs.
You're talking about people in the universities suppressing?
Universities, research stations, and so on.
Now,
that is happening all over North America. So we know that's why we're not getting the information that we should have into the dangers of GMOs and the dangers of contamination. And most of our information now has to come from Europe.
So what you're suggesting is that people visit your website, which is percyschmeiser.com, mm-hmm. right? And that's spelled PercyScheiser, percyschmeiser.com, and also that people educate themselves about genetic engineering, and also that they challenge Monsanto. And tell us again how we can help you fight Monsanto in your court case.
Well, on the website, it shows I have a trust fund set up, and it's called Fight Genetic Altered Food Fund, and the address is on that. And to give you an example, if I can go ahead with my court case from against Monsanto and also the leap for the appeal, those two cases, that if I would raise about $55,000 American, throughout the world, I could go ahead. And with my court case, I could really, then the whole issue for organic farmers, like the liability issue and the stopping of more introduction of GMOs, would be a benefit not only to myself but to farmers throughout the United States and Canada, and especially organic farmers. So that's where I need help. Like, I've spent approximately $300,000 of my own money. My wife and myself are retirement funds. And like I said, we just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. But we're prepared to fight and fight hard for this issue. And as I said, it's no longer our fight. It's a fight of people concerned of what they're eating, the rights of farmers to use their own seed throughout the world. And that's why I need financial help to continue on this.
You're saying if you win in court, this could set a precedent that would have a much wider impact than just your case.
Right, because I just received a report this morning from legal firms stating that it now is and indeed a legal precedence setting case for not over Canada and the United States, but for throughout the world. And that's why it's so important that I don't stop now, that I continue on with it, because ultimately the Supreme Courts of both our countries, but first here in Canada, will have to decide that whole issue of patenting life-giving forms, and where does it stop? And, you know, if they can do it to a seed or plant, bird, bee, or insect, or ultimately a human being. So the whole issue, my whole case now, has really expanded into many areas. But, again, I need help from people around the world.
Thanks so much for your time today.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity and to bring awareness to people. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.